just want to talk about some things here today. I was going to carry on with our momentum. You know, I just think that's part of one of the words that we've had God gave me this year, and I'm usually not into turn around, do something, it's better. But I just had this thing on our heart that God's just been speaking to me about. You know, I try to spend as much time as I can just listening and visualizing and hearing what God is saying at times, especially at the moment. You know, I am working with a guy, bringing him up to Darfield and a whole lot of things that are around that. And he's quite an influencer also. And so it'd be great when he is able to get here, a bit of stuff to do before we get here yet. I think it's really important to understand what God is doing. And I want to share a wee bit of that today and how we can be effective in our community and shifting some of the things that are over and around our lives. But just before we start, let's just pray for Leaston and for the churches. Father, we just thank you, Lord, today. Lord, that you are alive and well, Father, here in this community and surrounding towns, Father. And we just pray, Lord, for every church right now, Father, for your love and grace, Lord, just to be ministered in and through these churches, Lord, and the support that is needed, Father, for those who lead the churches, Father. We just praying for unity for them, Lord, that would just enable them, Lord, to be effective, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are empowering also, Lord, those who lead these churches, Lord, and that you are gracing them, Lord, with your heart, your voice, Lord, that they would actually be sensitive and know what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read the scripture in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, and I want to minister a wee bit out of this today. And it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I just want to stop there for a moment. I want to say again today that the real world, and you'll hear me say this from time to time, is the world that we can't see. That's the real world. Why do I say it's the real world? Number one, because it's eternal. This world, we only have a lifespan of less than 100 years as a rule, and then we die. But we are spiritual beings, which is why I say point number two, because we are spiritual beings and our true identity and all the answers that we need to live a whole and peaceful life come through Christ in the unseen world. Holly was talking a wee bit about that in her testimony. You know, it's like, she felt she was in free fall, she said, and that part of her life before knowing Jesus was, you know, just, I remember asking her this actually. She said, what did you used to do before you knew God? What was life? What was it for? She says, I don't know, parties really. One party to the next, weekend to weekend, and, you know, trying to find fulfillment in life. And that's what it is for a lot of people. It's like they're trying to create something successful. They're trying to build something successful. They're trying to find some sort of identity. They're trying to create some sort of normal in their life. They're trying to measure up to what the world or society calls successful or whatever. But actually, everything we're looking for is today we're in God. And I am 100%. I had got involved in a conversation yesterday where somebody was telling me, you know, all these fights and all these things, everything that ever seems to go wrong in the world is about religion. And so I had to speak to that in front of a heap of people because this bloke was being very, very vocal about it. And I said, you know, religion is just something we do all the time. So, I mean, you religiously, you brush your teeth every day. So we can do anything, you know. And so any organization, anywhere, it's just like it doesn't have to be actually about God. It's just people about wanting power, wanting position, wanting to control things. And that's really what it comes. And if they can get it through an organization, if they can find something. And there was a time when it actually happened way back when Rome was the superpower, really. This is not my notes, so I just have to say this quick. You know, and then it began to fall and it began to crumble. And then the Huns and all of those that the Romans detested, that were all the countries that were really still fighting against Rome begin to rise up, and they were going to overthrow Rome. It had split into two. It had two rulers, two brothers at the time. And so the church then began to call on people all around and said, you know, do you really want these sort of people that aren't Romans ruling over us? They're, you know, they're just a wild lot. And so as a result, the church got power, got momentum, and then there arose. It was the beginning of the church, the Catholic Church, actually, at that time. And then out of that, it began to dictate. That was the beginning of the end for Rome. And the church began to rise, and it began to rule. And it ruled from Rome, and it ruled through many nations. And then, because it became the power base for everything, it then became a place where people could use it for their own corruption. And it's never stopped. It can be in any organization, but, you know, some things have come to the fore because of what happened in Christchurch. And I've had to speak to that in Darfield, and I've had to speak to that in Leeston. We've had some gatherings there together in Darfield. They write out the notes so that I have to read everything that they need to say. Here in Leeston, I got to speak to the atmosphere that I wanted to speak to, which I will talk about in a moment. But it's understanding that, you know, there is thrones, as they call it, or seats of power. There is kingdoms. There is dominions. There is rulers. There is powers that are unseen in this world that rule in our atmosphere and over our towns. And it's being aware that that is there and understanding that unless we remove some of these bad influences, demonic influences, that have got there because the church has defaulted in the past, has defaulted its responsibility, has backed down, and so these things where rise up, we become apologetic, you know, and so we find ourselves in a place where, you know, we don't want to upset the apple cart, we don't want to upset people, so we try to be all PC, you know, and go with the flow, and then suddenly the church loses its power, it loses its influence, it loses what God has given it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's really important to note here that in the second part of that of verse 16, even though all of these thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world, everything was created through Christ for Him. So these places were created for Him, that His governance would rule in the unseen world. But when the church abdicates, then another authority steps in. And that's what has happened, you see. And we have to position Jesus again, raise up a standard, put Him in His rightful place, where He needs to be over our workplaces, our schools, our businesses, our communities, our towns. And we have to understand that that's our responsibility, Christ working through us, and being able to establish that. And it comes about because we need to step into, doesn't matter where we are, the understanding of who we are, the identity that Christ has given us, and not what society puts on you, that you have to be a certain sort of a person to be a Christian. You know, the saddest thing for good thing would be that the church would lose its teeth, that we'd just be known for doing good things. Well, that's just pathetic, when actually all power has been given unto Jesus Christ. You know, at the bottom of this passage, in verse 19, it says this: "For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ." That is so powerful. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Now Christ Jesus, when He died on us, we go through the waters of baptism. Some of you have been through that. We just had a whole lot of water baptisms, get filled with the Holy Spirit. You begin to step into this authority and this inheritance that Jesus Christ has given us. And part of that is that Christ now dwells in you. And wouldn't it be wonderful to say, God in all His fullness dwells in James. That God in all His fullness was pleased to live in James. That God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Pete. Was pleased to live in Mark, Chris, everyone else here in this room. That God in all His fullness was pleased. You know, that's His desire. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. So that God can live in us. We are dying to ourselves so that Christ can rule and reign in us. That we no longer serve our own desires, the fleshly desires, But we actually recognize what God is saying and through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You know, listening is a big thing. When I get our values all done, I'm getting there. We'll put them up on a wall somewhere. And I want to add that one, listening. It's too easy for people to say, yeah, I've been doing all of this sort of stuff and justify that, you know, I've been doing God things and whatever. I've been doing some nice things and good things, you know. It's so easy. I mean, you can come and ask me, what have you been doing today? And I can tell you a whole lot of things, it's all to do with church and that, and just thinking, oh, that's all amazing. But have I and have you been doing what God's been asking of you? In fact, if I was to say, you know, lots of people come to me and say, you know, God has been doing this and this and this and this. And then I, just to cut through everything, I say, tell me what the Lord has been saying. And 9 times out of 10, you just get silence because people don't know what the Lord is saying. A lot of people don't know what the will of God for their life even is. And so we're not hearing what the Lord is saying to us. We need to be a Mary and not a Martha. It's really easy to run around and feel, well, we need to do this and need to do this and need to do this. And that's what the church sometimes has become. It has become a place of just doing nice things. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing nice things and doing good things and loving people. God is love. But over and above all of that is there is a fullness. God wants to establish his kingdom here on earth. And we are the gateway. We are the gateway to him actually establishing this. You know, when I first come here to Leeston, I took a word, some of you might remember who were here, called I'm a Gateway. And I preached that, I think, for a couple of weeks, and then I suddenly realized that people couldn't grasp a hold of that. And so I had to back away from that for a time. But I feel we need to understand now that we are a gateway. Today I'll have a look at one of those passages. You know, the promises that were made to Abraham are ours today, 100%. Not anything to do with Old Testament, New Testament, or anything else. It's like, if you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed. You know, and was Jesus was promised unto Abraham is yours. The seed, capital S, it talks about in the Bible, was Jesus. Not seeds. The seed was Christ. And there's a whole thing there that I've taught on this before here, you know. And so we need to understand that, you know, there is a promise given unto us that was when God was talking to Abraham, that he was actually looking way further down. We're all, when we know Jesus, we're all sons and daughters of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. We sing that song, but a lot of people didn't really believe that in their heart. And so we need to understand. And so when you come into New Testament, you begin to see that some keys were given to us, keys to the kingdom, some keys to release what has been released already in heaven. We'll look at that in a minute. And some keys to actually stop and shut and remove what has been forbidden in heaven. What God does not allow to happen or to speak or to be voiced or to be actioned in heaven needs to be done here on earth. There's some voices that need to be shut down. There's some things that need to be stopped, you know, and they're in the unseen realm. And we have to establish that here on earth. Christ through us, speaking and ministering and testifying and doing some of these other things. Anyway, mucking my word up today. So this world that we live in can't satisfy or meet all the needs that we have. Hospitals, welfare institutions of every sort alone are filled with people wanting healing, help, and answers. That's what they're wanting. They're wanting answers. The good news is God has the answers, not you and I. God has the answers. Jesus, this word has answers. And it's an absolute. God will, through you, if you're willing, minister wholeness and healing into hearts and into lives. And there's a lot of miracles, a lot of things that have happened, you know, even just of recent. And I've enjoyed just having Ian and Dale. We've just did the Sozo thing, which I think is quite a needful thing for a lot of people. I mean, if you ask me, I don't fully understand it because I've never been to a Sozo. I think I do Sozo a lot, but I don't really know what it is fully. I was going to be coming to this one, but Ian wanted to talk to me about some things, and we had an amazing time, actually. And God has actually been just speaking to us. There's a really strong connection that has formed. And he went home from this place totally full and fat. And like he has never, Ian is, he belongs to the Axe movement. and the Equippers Movement. He's an executive member, and he does a lot of stuff in there. Gets involved in a lot of churches in and around here, putting people in churches and different things in the Christchurch region and all around. He's been around a lot of places, me and a lot of big churches, spoken in a lot of nations, all through America and all sorts of places. Been in Bethel heaps of times. His wife goes there more often than he does now. And a lot of other places, Australia and all around the place. And he says, you know, I've never seen anybody use the multi-tracks like you do. He said, because you worship with multi-tracks. You actually worship. You have free worship. And he wanted to know how we do this free worship. He said, I've been in a lot of big churches, like big churches. And all big churches use multi-tracks and different things. But he said, you get up, you sing your song, you do that, you're on to the next song and whatever. And it's like, but you feel, don't be hold it there, and you have worship. And he said, I've never ever seen that. And I says, wait till you go to Darfield. Don't be offended, Leeston. But I says, wait till you go to Darfield. I said, you'll sit under an open heaven. I said, you wait and see till you get up there. I said, we're small up there. But you wait and see what will happen. Sure enough, we got up there and she all broke out. And he didn't want to preach. He said, no. And I said, no, you need to come up. He said, no, we're just going to keep on worshiping. He said, this thing's getting bigger and bigger. He hasn't been anything like that for as long as he can ever remember. And I says, this ain't nothing. I mean, it was all right. We didn't get too excited about it. It was a good worship, you know. But they just wanted to carry on worshiping. And he just says, mate, this is just... So when he flew home on the Monday, he flew home that afternoon, he got to be there for a prayer meeting, and then next minute I see these things on YouTube and that, and I had a laugh, and I said, you couldn't help yourself. We rung up actually and talked. I said, you couldn't help yourself, you're full of it. He said, I was full of it, Wayne. When I got home to the prayer meeting, and their prayer meeting had got quite small because they're the biggest church in Invercargill, And so he'd got it up to about 40 or something. Wasn't quite that many there that night. He just wanted to pray and prophesy over everybody. And they did fire tunnels and people were falling all over the floor. He just had to get something out of what he picked up here. That's what he wanted to do. He's just like, Wayne, it's like... And then he says to Nikki and I, he runs this, boutique conference. So they cap it at 200 and he brings in some of the best speakers in the world. And he brings them in down to Queenstown. And he just caps it at 200. He says, I'm bringing you guys in. It's all paid for. It's all free. You're just coming in just to do that. And I said, oh, well, I'm Ian's friend. I wear a big T-shirt. I'm Ian's friend. And I'll walk in with my chest out. I'm Ian's friend. But he said, no. He said, well, I want you there. It's just like, I want what you guys have got. And it's just like, I look for people like you. He wants this. He's hungry for this. And he loves it. And in his stream, it's a dying thing also. And we think, you know, that everybody is just all embracive of the Holy Spirit, but they're not. People are fearful of the embarrassment that it might cause or what it might look like or some of the weird things that happen. And there'll always be an element of flesh. When God's doing great things, people just go a bit silly and screw things up or whatever. But it's just like God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, that you know sometimes we think that nothing's really happening, you know. Part of what even is happening here, it's like, you know, when God declares some things over a church, and you know, in the past, when I come in, I talk to you, because things have been declared over this church way before Nikki and I got here. I've read some of the prophecies. And then since I've been here, they're saying the same thing. So it's like God actually wants to do some things. The thing is, you haven't believed it. Sometimes we just get in that place where, how can this happen? And this is a key. When we start to shift some things, you know, I've been really encouraged with some stories. And this is a key, you know, to breaking out, is you need to tell your stories, people. When God does something miraculous in your life, even if you think, wow, maybe it wasn't that much, tell people. Stand up and tell the church. It's like, not just the church, but then the community. Tell people what God's doing in your life. Your testimony is really powerful. And it shifts things in people's lives because they're looking for truth. And when they hear that, you know, there's one thing that is more powerful than anything else, you know, and that's when you talk of your testimony of Jesus Christ. And that is because it's real for you and people can look at you. They mightn't want to hear it. But when you're talking about yourself, everybody can tell, well, this is absolute. You're not floundering around looking for, you know, declaring some scripture or some interpretation of the Bible. You're talking about what Jesus did for you. And you need to stand up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Ben was over in the station. Goes over there on a Thursday night, every Thursday night. before youth group and begins to pray through the station and just pray for the youth. How many youth are here from Beans here today? Anyone here for youth? From Beans youth here? No one here? Sorry? They just went to get a drink. Anyway, he just prays. He was praying away. I went in there this Thursday and suddenly there was this presence in there, an evil presence, which has never been in there before. And so Ben battled away. How long? Ben, about an hour and a half? About an hour and a half to shift this thing. And so he rung me up, and so we thought, oh, we need to have a wee talk about this, what's going on, you know. He got up to put some music on in the sound box just to help try and shift this thing, you know. And he suddenly felt and was aware of this person presence sitting on the sofa. You see, this thing doesn't like what Ben's doing and the impact he's having on youth. He doesn't want, this is his dominion. And he's saying to Ben, because this is what happens in New Zealand as a rule, when a demon manifests itself or presents itself in person like this, it's their last resort, because then they're exposing themselves. It's like, okay, we know now what we're dealing with. Sometimes you don't always know what you're dealing with until they turn up. Excuse me, these kind of turned up, and so I says, oh, Ben, you're taking over his place. He's sitting there saying, excuse me, these are my youth. This is my place. I have dominion over here. Ben's saying, no, you don't. And you're feeling the pressure and you have to go. So you're trying to make his, he was trying to make his big statement that I'm the authority over here, over the Leeston youth. That's what he's trying to say. It's like, I don't like what you're doing. And I'm the authority here and I'm just letting you know that I'm running the show. And Ben says, no, you're not. And Ben won. You see, you've got to shift some things. Why? Because Ben's having influence. Nikki's having influence. The team over there are having influence. Not just in the youth, but in families. People are talking. Things are starting to happen. I got an invitation the other day on Tuesday to go down and to speak to Leeston at Anderson Square about some of the stuff that's been happening in Christchurch and to speak to the people of Leeston. And they said, you know, wing it, Wayne, just whatever. And I think, oh, they're giving me free rein to speak. So that was good. A number of youth people were down there. Ellesmere had a big truck, fire brigade, St. John Ambulance. Whatever, people are all there, and I thought there might have been more than what was there, but anyway, a number of people there. Some people got up and spoke and different things. God put something on my heart to speak to, and so when I got up and I spoke, and when I was up there speaking, I could feel myself speaking to things. And I wanted to speak to an atmosphere. I wanted to speak to an innocence. I wanted to bring hope into this place. An innocence has been taken. I wanted to restore a hope and who we are as least, and I wanted to speak into all those things, so I did. Afterwards, nobody had to tell me. A lot of people come and said, wow, that was a bit different. People I didn't really know. I said some things. I was walking back in the dark because we had to pack up in the dark. I felt about 10 feet tall, but I thought, I've actually shifted something. You know when you shift something and you've spoken some hope into some things. And I was so aware to come back here and they're having a music meeting. That night, I went to bed to have a sleep. I was sound asleep. Suddenly, two great big demons, and they were heavy. How did they know I was heavy? They threw themselves on me. I was sound asleep, but in a split second, I suddenly was aware of their move, even in my sleep. And Nikki tells me I shouted, and I woke up, and it's like I had to heave these things off. And my chest was just about jumping out. Nikki's patting me. I'm waking up, and she's patting me and trying to calm me down. It's like, it's all right. It's all right. It's like, what's wrong? It's like, wrong. It's like, what's wrong? It's like, I'm upsetting a few things. And I knew that when I was speaking to some things that night, they didn't like me saying those things. And they're saying, excuse me, because I tell you what, they tried to suffocate me. That was what they were trying to do. They tried to suffocate. And I knew as soon as they threw themselves on me, and they weren't light. As soon as they threw themselves on me, I knew that you're trying to suffocate me. And I'm up to the, heave them off. And I tell you, I just wanted to walk up and down the road and speak in tongues. I needed to go up to the golf course and back in the dark or whatever. I was absolutely full of God, I'm telling you. I was wired. I was trying to calm myself down, thinking, I've just got to go back to sleep. You just got to go back to sleep, Wayne. But suddenly you are aware of what you are engaging in. Now, I'm saying this because when you shift atmospheres, it allows God then to bring to pass what he said he will do, which is what has happened this week. We are shifting some stuff. People are wanting to join to us. So a phone call said, you know, I've got these people, some of them are Muslim, have converted from Muslim, in Melbourne, Australia. There's about 30 to 40 people who have been saved. A guy's working with them online, trying to minister to them. They don't go to any church, but they want to form a church. They've been working away for some time. He said, do you mind if we put this under Leeston? If we plant a church over there and we come under Leeston, it comes looking for you. It comes looking for you. Why does it come looking for you? Because you're shifting things, because God says this multi-storied lighthouse is going to reach first to your community, your region, and then over into other countries. You know, people have said to me, what about this prophecy, Wayne, you had of this green leaf, this green surfboard that riding a wave? It's flimsy and you're standing there and you're all proud and this is what's given over. And everybody says, that won't work. They're all standing there with a surfboard. You're standing there with a green leaf. It's like, we'll ride the wave on the green leaf. People say, this won't work. You know, I get rings from New Life and they say, Wayne, if you're going to do a church plant, this is how you have to do it. It's like, we'll just go with what God's going to do. That's the best way to do it. Is just go with the way God wants to do it. You know, people say this can't work, this won't work. It's like some things can work. It's just going with, you know, we've tried to venture into a few things and then doors shut. It's like, just go with what God is saying, what God wants to do. So, you know, it's just like, okay, where this works, this guy's going to go over there, paid for him to fly over there. I might go over there shortly myself just to go over there to see what it's all about or whatever. I've talked to him, but I just need to have a bit more talking and see what happens of this. But I want to say to you people, it's like when we start to shift things, God gets to do what he needs to do. When you make room for God by shifting those things out which shouldn't be there, there is thrones or seats, there is dominions, there is people who are not people, demonic powers that are ruling and having influence over areas that should not be there. James is talking about things changing and the worship and that here. We really enjoy, just we've been connected with Bethel of Rate. We're part of the Bethel actually network leadership team. They prophesy over sometimes. We prophesy over them. We're actually, some of you have all got a number of you have been given a thing to fill in. Because we're looking at doing some coaching. You can never know enough. And so we said, well, how can we be better at doing church? And so you, a number of you people are filling out things, what we're good at and what we aren't good at as a church, as pastors and whatever else. So, you know, and then they just come and then they work through all of these things, you know. And so we can see what's not doing so well and what isn't doing so well, and they're going to see that. And then they'll just begin to speak into that. And I think it's just a healthy thing, you know. But being able to connect with someone which will do that, because we're not able to do that with the stream in which we are doing, which I've been talking to them. It's like, how do we go forward in some of these things? Who do you build in and around your life? And so we are networking with a number of people here in New Zealand and over abroad. That just is a flow-on effect. James was making a statement there today. I'm thinking, yeah, that will start to happen because that's what we're sort of involved in. And it's like, you know, I want us to be aware that God wants to do some things and that he said, this is what I'm going to do. And we just need to understand that God will do what he says he wants to do. To plant some fires. Fires are when God's moving and doing something. We don't want to just lie down and not be involved in what God is saying. And just say, well, you know, okay, sirrah, sirrah, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, just in closing, and there's a passage there, that they might put it up there in Genesis. It talks about Jacob. It's a story of Jacob. He went in and he was a naughty boy. He was manipulative. He lied. He was deceitful. He was a whole lot of things. And he stole the birthright and the blessing from his brother. He made out he was his brother, put things, make his arms hairy and whatever, because his brother was all hairy and whatever. And he did all these things to rob, and when his brother found out, then he was on the run. And his brother was wanted to kill him, and so he was on the run. And he come to this place this night, and he lay down. So he wasn't in a good place. He didn't think he was that great, just like sometimes we don't feel we're that great. You know what the word devil means? Accuser. You know, when you're being accused, and some of these accusations will come in your mind. Some of them will come from things you hear from other people. Some of them will come in circumstances that you get involved in, maybe in work or whatever, or just life. Some of the trials that we go through. And there will be things going wrong, and you begin to second guess yourself. You feel unworthy, you're condemned, failing, you know, shame. All that sort of stuff begins to build in around you, you know, and you feel this voice, you feel that, you know, that you're not good enough. That's the accuser. That's the accuser. And he's always wanting to tell you that you're a bad person and to take away all hope. He doesn't want you to have hope. He likes hopelessness. That's why I wanted to address some things with this hopelessness that sometimes sits over a community. It's like we are strong together, and we need to put God back in his rightful place and who he actually is. And we don't have to be apologetic about some of these things. And so Jacob here was on the run. He wouldn't be feeling very good. He wouldn't be thinking that God's very pleased with him even. But he lies just like you and I sometimes. We might think we're good enough, but Jesus actually died on the cross for you and I and said, you know, I believe in you. And I want you to be my son and my daughter. And I want to restore you. I want to heal these things in your life. It doesn't matter. Go and have a talk to Lance if you want to know what God can actually do and what he can shift, you know. And so you know, God wants to do, talk to Holly. Talk, you know, there's a lot of testimonies that we carry in our lives that show us how God can actually minister to and restore hope in our life, and then begin to address all of the things that we feel we're not good at. And I love some of those things Holly was saying there. You suddenly begin to look at yourself and begin to notice a whole lot of things about yourself when you find God. But it's not a negative thing. It's like, I can go forward. Now I have hope that I can actually see this and there's an answer for my way through in this. And Jacob goes to sleep and suddenly he has this dream of the stairway that's established, it says, on the earth. It's set up on the earth and it reaches up into the heavens. And there's angels going up. Not, they go up first and then they come down. It's established and it reached up to the top. Now that's impossible in the natural. It's physically impossible in the natural, but in the spiritual it's possible. And this is what God wants us to understand. There is stuff that we have to do in the spiritual realm. There were angels going up. We don't see angels in the natural as a rule, you see? So here's a spiritual event that God is wanting to bring an understanding to Jacob. And at the top of the stair is God himself is standing there, and then he declares over Jacob the promises that he has given Abraham. And he says, you know, Jacob, nothing is going to happen until all of this comes to pass. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. Nothing will happen till I bring all what I says to pass in your life. And that's an awesome thing to have said over your life. But he said, you know, here I am here, and this God was here in this place, and I didn't even know it. I want to say, you know, God is in this place, Leeston, Southbridge, Irwell, Doylestone, Dunsandel, Clinchy, wherever. We just got to be aware that he's there. Just stop for a moment and catch what God's trying to say and what he's doing. I visualize a lot of things. I see a lot of things, you know, and in that moment, you know, God just speaks to me about some things, you know, and I nurse those things. Me and God are talking about something at the moment, you know, that I'm just looking at, and we're talking about it. Me and God are just talking about it. We're just going over some things, and we're talking about some things. It's like, but how can this come to pass? But we're talking about it. And you just got to do this and just let God just minister. And it's not for me to understand, but the spirit realm, there's stairways. And Jacob said, you know, this is a gateway. This dream, you know, here's a gateway. And it's like, I want to say today, you're the gateway into the supernatural, into the spirit realm. For God to actually come and establish his kingdom here on earth. To establish his kingdom here on earth. You're the gateway. If it's going to happen, he uses people. It'd be nice just to, you know, think that God would just do everything wonderful. I mean, God ministered to Lance, but he had to use Nikki and myself to get this thing rolling. You know, he will use anybody, you know, to start a story, to testify of something. There's no substitute for truth. When you are healed, I mean, the faith that arises in the unbelieving people when they hear a story is amazing. They're looking for truth. People are wanting truth. They're wanting answers. And then we apologize for them. In closing, let's look at the scripture in wherever it is, Matthew somewhere. Forsaken my notes altogether today. But we're closing with this. It's in Matthew. What does it say? What's more, I am with you. No, that's not the one. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Then he asked them and his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what he says. Goes on to say, next verse. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being, but I say unto you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, not the name of Peter or Peter, but upon this revelation of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. In fact, the Passion Translation says it the best of all, so I'll read it to you out of the Passion Translation. It says this: Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name now Peter, a stone or a rock, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation." This truth, this upon this rock, upon this bedrock foundation on which I will bed, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation of which I will build my church, that he is the Christ. And my legacy, it goes on a whole lot of other things, but I just want to show you that upon this revelation, I will build my church. Then he goes on and he says, "I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom," or New Living Translation says, "and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Or whatever you permit on earth will be permitted on heaven." It's like God saying, "I've opened up something for you, and I've given you an authority to actually just speak into the spiritual realm. And whatever you say, if you like, angels will take that message." Old Testament talking. This is what happened with Jacob. This is what God was showing for Jacob. So I'm just using this for an illustration. And so whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so these angels ascended up, because it went from earth to heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So up go the angels again to loose on earth what has been loosed in heaven, or to loose in heaven from heaven what is spoken over in earth. And so we need to understand that we have a direct access. Angels do exist. They do fight for us in different things. But we're praying to God. We're praying via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers in and through us at times. And I want to encourage you, you know, that even though you can't see some of these realms, they are unseen, they have been established. And through our prayers and through our testimonies and through the things that we do and pray and minister, even over people and into people, things like we were saying here today as we prophesied, you were speaking and declaring some things. If you just go over the words of that song and understand that when we prophesy, we are releasing the will and purpose that God is speaking to us or through us into the unseen realm, to shift that which needs to be shifted, to say that our kids will rise up and to be great leaders. Speak that over their lives, over your homes, and over this town, that the young people will arise. They will be triumphant and defy all of the things that are put in front of them to rob them of a good life. All the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and the violence and all the other stuff that comes their way that screws them up. All the pressures of life, the anxiety and the depression that comes and is robbing our young people of who they are, of their true identity. That stuff needs to be shifted away. And we're doing that. We're doing that. And we're going to see it begin to just keep changing. Keep changing. And so I want to encourage you today, church. We've got teeth. We've got an authority. God in all of his fullness coming in to you. It pleased God to fill his own son with all of his fullness. I love that. What an amazing. Go home and meditate on it. I've been meditating on that all week. It's just been speaking to me all week. It's like I get excited about that. It pleased God in all of his fullness, dwelling in Wayne. Wow. And it pleased him to be there. I like that. That feels good. That gives me some things to say and some things to do. And I'm excited about Leeston, you know. Get excited about what happens in Darfield or wherever else too, because it comes out of this church. Everything belongs to the Leeston Life Church Trust. That's what it all belongs to. It's coming out of a house because God spoke it over this house. Didn't speak it over Darfield. Spoke it over this house. That this is what I want to establish. This wants to go out of. And what we can do and what God wants to do through us, that can release ministries and release some of you people to minister in such a powerful way and to shift some stuff. I just think it's amazing. Well, so we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing. Lord, I just pray, Father, Lord, for just bringing, Father, Lord, a new confidence into our hearts here today, that which you are establishing is amazing. That which you want to do is amazing. And Lord, that we can actually trust you with our lives. That which you want to do, Father, Lord, in and through us will come to pass. That, Lord, we have a fresh understanding of who we're fighting and what we're fighting. That the accuser's voice will be silenced. That those who come to shut down and to disrupt, those who come to become a distraction to rob us, will be shut down. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that here today you are restoring into our hearts hope, an ability to see past where we stand now. The things that we've struggled with in the past, Father, Lord, shrinking. Lord, your authority, Father, Lord, coming to the fore in our hearts, that we can believe. And the Lord just says to me then, people, invite me in. Invite me in, is what the Lord just said. Invite me in to your problem. Invite me in to your sickness. Invite me in to your life. Sozo yourself. Sit there and talk to God and begin to see him, visualize him, let or hear him, however it works for you. Feel him. Go with what you're feeling, what you're hearing, what you are seeing, however it works for you. And speak some things and declare some things over your own life. Let him lead you by his Holy Spirit. That's what he's just saying. Invite me in. Just sense the Lord saying, you know, you're struggling with some things for too long. You're carrying some things that you don't need to be carrying. In fact, some of you are getting bogged down. There's one or two people here that you're actually genuinely bogged. You're actually, it's robbing you now. The weight is robbing you. Who here today doesn't know the Lord and you want to know the Lord? I don't know, just with that invite me in thing, if maybe, or some of you not feeling in a good place and you just want to know Jesus today. You don't know Jesus. Is there anybody here that's talking about you, or no one? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just hear what the Lord's saying today. He's saying, invite me in to your situation, into your life. Start this journey. Hand some things over. Hand some things over. It's real. I'm telling you, it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. It's the most amazing thing when you watch God just come and transform someone's life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you right now. We commit every person here to you. Lord, we just release, Lord, your favor, your goodness, and your blessing. Father, Lord, let this be a week, Father, Lord, where people hear from you afresh. Hear from you afresh. Lord, where you're able to minister, Lord, into people's hearts and into their minds, Father. Lord, just causing them to know and to understand that you are able to take over and control of everything. In Jesus' name.